Where are you going? Upstairs?
Oh, yeah, for a podcast. Ready?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just literally walk around all the time, the entire time.
Yeah, do you know what that's called? It's called Friends Talking Shop, and we have 91 episodes of it.
But if he did for the whole hour plus, just kept walking.
We have several episodes that are quite similar to that.
Always moving.
Yes. Obviously. Dave with the suit, ice in his veins. Josh cracking jokes, never mundane. Oh, my wild card, twisting your brain. Together they roll, FTS the name. Life's petty props, kick to the curb. Dave got the logic, never disturbed. Josh with the punchline, sharp like a verb. Oh, my, the eccentric, slick like an herb. Friends talking shop.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the FTS podcast, Friends Talking Shop. We're finally back with episode 92, marching our way to the big episode 100.
Central Park.
Yep, I know the plans, and I think we've got the location.
We do?
We got speakers.
Is anyone telling me?
Well, I thought you were supposed to get the place. I'm getting the speakers. Oh, all right. I'm just getting the food and the drinks and what have you. So we're marching our way to episode 100. I hope you're making your plans ready to come to our big bash when that happens. We're Friends Talking Shop. Number one podcast in the country. Just new survey just came out. We hit number one. It's fantastic.
Feel pretty good about that. Big survey.
I am your host, Dave. Glad to be. But it feels like it's been a while. Has it felt like a while?
To us, it has been a while. But it's really only been a normal lag from our last episode. But yeah, we've been away for a while. But we did a couple, and then we spaced them out. So that's why.
Yeah, that's right. We did.
Yeah, it just feels like a while since we last got together.
All right. Well, it's good to see you guys. It's been, hope you had a wonderful summer so far. Maybe you'll tell me a little bit about it. Let me start first with you, Josh, as one of my co-hosts. How are you doing?
So I'm good. I had a lot going on since we last been here, and I'll give you the quick rundown. First, had my birthday. Not a big deal.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. Well, actually, okay. I should cut in there. I want to say I apologize. I missed the text, the all-important text, happy birthday text,
you did.
On your birthday.
You did. It was quite
Josh, did I
upsetting.
Say anyone?
You did not either, and that was also quite upsetting. So both of you missed the happy birthday message that should have been delivered.
So the mission was I actually was going to send another one of my friends a birthday thing the other day, and I'm like, I'll call him. I forgot to call him as well.
Mm.
So how much is a call worth 2x? What a text is for happy birthday?
Call is worse. A text is 2x a call. I don't want to call.
Oh, really?
I don't want to call. Listen, here's what I don't want. I just want a text maybe just from a handful of people, you guys included, that says, hey, happy birthday. And then I can give you a little thumbs up, and then we can move on with our day.
Yeah.
What I don't want is 1,000 calls. I don't get that, thankfully. But what I do get is the 1,000 Facebook crap and the LinkedIn now. LinkedIn, all these people who I don't know from Adam or I haven't seen in forever or maybe had one conversation with, happy birthday, Josh. And then I got to do the thanks to each one. Thanks a lot. And I know it's nice, but it's like it's not necessary. It's overkill. I don't want their happy birthdays. I want your happy birthdays. And what I got was their happy birthdays, and I didn't get your happy birthdays.
Well, how do you track it? Because what I have is on my calendar from like 7 to 7:15 are people's birthdays across my calendar.
Yeah.
And if I'm not at my computer or something, like my phone will default to like 8 a.m. and sometimes I'll miss birthdays.
That's so why I do mine at 9. I have all my happy birthdays at 9 in my calendar for that exact reason.
Hmm.
Where I miss sometimes is weekends. If someone's birthday falls on a weekend, I miss it because I just didn't look at I didn't give me a reminder, or I slept past 9 or what have you.
That's a really good idea. Do you change? Are you blocked out if it's someone's birthday?
No. It's not blocked out. It's a free. It's one of those free. I do it 9 to 9, so there's no taking up any time.
Okay.
And that way, I know I'm definitely going to see it.
Omar, do you have a system?
A system for what?
Birthdays. Are you paying attention?
It's my birthday?
He missed my – no, you well, know when you your know birthday is. How do you know what my
you know?
Birthday is?
Calendars.
Yeah.
Duh.
So what happened?
What's your system on your calendar?
What happened?
I get – I, I think a phone call means more.
Yeah, again, but you didn't even give me a phone call. The question is, how do you not miss birthdays?
How do you not miss? Or how do you miss birthdays? How do you
not miss them? You said a calendar.
How do you
have
remember
them on your
them?
Calendar?
How do you remember birthdays?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
this is really
listen.
Keep answering the question.
No, it's very straightforward.
The phone call thing is, I'd rather do a phone call. I have to wait till it's like more like hours to do it.
Hey,
and I don't want to send a happy birthday at like 4 a.m.
Hey, Senator. Let me go back. How do you remember birthdays? Not phone calls on birthdays. How do you remember them? Senator, if you could just answer the question, that'd be great. And we can move on.
My calendar.
Thank you.
Where do you put it on your calendar?
Thank you.
On my work calendar.
Okay. What time? Are you listening to the conversation?
In the morning, 6 a.m.
That's your problem. That's your problem.
I think Josh has got the solution. You
9
make it free, or I think you can overlay.
I have too many other things going on at 9 a.m.
You make it free. You can still schedule stuff at 9 a.m. I have stuff at 9 a.m.
I don't have overlaps in my calendar. It gives me anxiety.
No, that's what makes me recognize it. Because I go, when I look at my calendar, I'm not looking at 6 a.m. If I look at it, every night I look at my calendar for the next day. I don't know if you guys do that. Every night before I go to bed, I look at my calendar for the next day. What do I have tomorrow? And then I can see, it's Josh's birthday.
Smart.
Thank you. Anyway, it was also our anniversary, so I celebrated our wedding anniversary, 24 years.
Your birthday is the same day as your anniversary?
No, since we've been gone. They're 5 days apart.
Why would you do that?
What do you mean, why would I do that?
Why would you get married so close to your birthday?
What's the difference? We wanted to get married in July.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
You know, my last fiance, my fiance.
Yeah.
Her birthday was 5 days after mine.
Yeah.
And I made her.
Yeah.
Change it.
Move her birthday 6 months later.
Get the hell out of here.
No, I swear.
I wonder why it didn't work.
No, she was okay with it.
Oh yeah, sure.
The reason was because whenever people said happy birthday to me, I felt in debt. Like I had to say, by the way, it's also Charmley's birthday coming up in a few days.
No, you wouldn't.
Every time.
Because you have a gap between your birthdays.
No, but it was close enough that I felt like I was being selfish.
One day is
and
close.
And so this is, by the way, why if I have a kid, I'm not having a kid anywhere around my birthday, number one. And number two, if I ever get married, there's no goddamn way I'm getting married around my birthday either.
Okay. You and I value birthdays differently. I think birthdays are not a big deal at all. They should not be celebrated to the extent that they are.
I'm not talking about celebrating.
What do you want then?
I'm talking about it just being about me, whatever I want to do.
Okay, but still, but that's a day. As long as it's not the same day, you can still do that.
But people, how many people, Dave, do you think reached out to Josh on his birthday? What's the over-under?
Oh, I bet you.
Text.
I bet you 15 plus.
15? I'll take the under.
No, it's over. It's over.
And I'm
really?
Yes.
It's how many? Wait. How many are work-related?
Work-related are a lot LinkedIn. LinkedIn's a ton of a ton.
LinkedIn.
Well, it's a ton.
That's like negative.
Listen.
LinkedIn doesn't count.
I'm just
saying,
you ask how many people reach
LinkedIn.
Out and say happy birthday. A pure text.
Not on
like
LinkedIn.
SMS.
People congratulating you on your work anniversary.
No, an SMS text is about, I'll say, I think it's about 15, 20. Okay. It should have been 17:22, but it was not. Anyway. Also, I also went away. We did family vacation to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. We had a great time. Except we did take a boat trip one day, and which was awesome for half the boat trip and then not so awesome for the other half. My daughter started to get real nauseous, and she moved to the back of the boat. And then I was like, I should check on her. So I got up, and I went down to check on her. I'm like, hey, are you – and as I'm like saying, are you all right? Like hit me, and then I went vomiting over the side of the boat.
Oh no,
that's the worst feeling in the world. There's no worse feeling than seasickness, and then it just ruins the rest of the boat trip.
Yeah,
it's just awful.
Was it a big boat? What kind of?
It was a decent sized boat. There were like 12 people on the boat. About 12 people.
So it wasn't like a. It was like A yacht. Yacht size?
No. It had a motor. So, I mean, you go around the coast and they show you all these cool places and you go in caves and then there's a place where we snorkel. You see the dolphins. It's amazing. It's just, Hawaii is just absolutely amazing. The landscape's absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
So it's great, but that's, that's what it was. And it was fun until it wasn't. And then the other thing was, someone's reading my diary. I'm walking back to my room. And I noticed there's a door open, not far from my room. And I just peek in there, the towel room. It was the towel room.
Oh, man.
And I oh my God, I was like a pig in shit. Every time I walk past it, I grab 4 or 5 towels. I can't help myself. I had a stockpile of towels and I was just stealing them left and right. It's like a hit of adrenaline to get these towels undiscovered.
I was thinking more like a tick or a.
Well, you can call it whatever obsession. You want, but it was it's very exciting to steal towels from a hotel for some reason for me.
Oh, very fun. So Hawaii is everything that they say, huh?
It's pretty. It's a great place. It's just a pain in the ass to get to. I mean, it's not easy, especially from the East Coast. But it's beautiful, beautiful place. And the weather's
can you fly direct?
You can't fly direct from Philadelphia. You can't.
I don't believe that.
You cannot fly direct from Philadelphia.
You know why, David, I'm pushing back on this?
Why?
As I'm flying out of Philadelphia Airport on Thursday.
To where?
And guess where I'm flying to?
Where? Where?
Hawaii? Right? Hawaii?
No.
Nice.
Yeah, that you can do. That's the other direction, you jackass. To fly to London from Philly is the same distance as flying to the West Coast.
Wait a second. Wait. My point is, New York does not fly to Nice directly. For some reason, Philadelphia does.
Philadelphia is a major airport, but you have different routes from different places. You're not going to have every single major airport flying to Nice, but the whole point is that's a 7-hour flight.
But why is Philadelphia? Those are some of the most backwards-ass people on the coast. You think they even – the only French that they know are French fries.
There's enough of us going to Nice, my friend. There's enough of us going to Nice.
Josh, do you have any of your friends?
Apparently, there's enough. Nice? You're going. You're going to Nice, Josh, from Philadelphia.
Josh, have you been? Have you know anybody that you grew up with?
Yes.
Even been to France?
Yes, of course. Of course.
Okay.
Yeah,
I believe you.
Yeah, I don't think you do. It sounds very suspect.
Are you saying the flight is too far? For a plane to go
there's no direct flight. I'm just telling you, there's no direct flight from Philadelphia to Hawaii. You have to go to the West Coast first. I'm 1,000% sure. You have to go out there. We went to Phoenix and Phoenix to Hawaii. On the way home, it was Hawaii to LAX, LAX to Philly.
Well, that may be. But you probably direct from Chicago.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I don't live in Chicago. The whole point is there's no direct flight from Philadelphia.
I'm just saying, they have direct flights from major cities.
Major cities who are closer to the location.
Well, that's my question. Yeah. Well, it's only what? Maybe 2 hours closer. I don't know.
No, it's a lot closer. There's no direct flights from St. Louis to Nice.
How about New York to Hawaii? You think there's no New York to Hawaii?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know. But it's just as much of a pain in the ass to go to New York than it is to just to fly a connector.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
It is. Anyway.
What's the airport in Hawaii, Josh?
Well, the one we went to is Lihue. It's in Kauai. We went to Kauai.
Very fun. What was the best thing you did there?
Oh, my God. We did a luau, which was really cool. Oh, you know the best thing we did that I had the most fun? We did a rum tasting. It was great.
Didn't you?
Yeah, it was awesome. We had a lot of fun. We got a little ripped. It was nice. It was good.
Any as good as Bamboo?
No, I still love Bamboo more than any of them that I tasted.
By the way,
they're
really good. I'm not making this up.
Yeah.
Bamboo is now officially the number one selling rum in the world.
I believe it.
Really?
It's phenomenal.
Number one.
Yeah.
Number one.
I want to take partial credit for that. I told everybody to buy Bamboo before it was for sale.
I did that too. I did that too. So, I've introduced it to all my friends.
I hope Brett is thankful for us and our influence.
Yeah.
Well, listen, he's sponsored us. Deacon Whiskey, by the way. Deacon Whiskey. Smoky, sweet, and peat. Pick up your Deacon Whiskey.
That's right.
And the last thing, by the way, real quick, is so much happened. We got a puppy. We just got a puppy.
Wow.
Yes. And so she's awesome. She's very cute, but she is, oh my God, she's a handful. She's a puppy. I forgot how hard it is to train a puppy. Yeah. Oh my God. It's exhausting.
My brother-in-law is doing crazy. He's very into that dog, his puppy.
Yeah.
I mean, watching him do it real time.
I mean, it's
send it to school.
Well, that's, I think, what we're going to do. We're going to figure some obedience courses or training, because it's
just a lot. Not easy.
It's a lot. It's a lot. So,
yeah.
But anyway, that's a lot about how I'm doing. So,
that's good.
A lot went on. Lots good. And it's good to be back.
All right. Omar, how you doing, man?
Ask me this question. Ready? Say, right. How certain are you, Omar, that this podcast is going to be a great podcast?
This particular recording, or yes, our podcast in general?
No, this particular recording.
Okay.
All right.
Ask me.
Omar.
Yes.
How can you be sure that this particular podcast?
How certain? How certain?
Come on, Jesus Christ!
Come on, right. Take two.
You're gonna cut it. Okay, Omar. How can you be so certain that this podcast?
Nope. It's unbelievable. It's really.
I don't have any lines.
Yeah, you're flubbing it again.
Well, you do it then.
Okay, I'll do it. How certain, Omar, are you that this is going to be a good recording, good episode?
That's what I said.
I
nailed it. Keep going.
I am not just sure, Josh.
Yeah.
David, I am HIV positive.
Oh my God. You know, we went so far for that stupid joke. I thought for sure we're going to get some nugget of gold, some treasure that you were going to deliver to us, and that's what we
but
set
David,
this
did
up for.
You see what happened? Did you see what I did? That was good, right?
Yeah, you lured us into a false sense of something great.
I lured you into comedic quicksand.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
You did.
So I was at a wedding, and I in London. Okay.
Hold on, Dave, are you having a pancreas problems, or
I'm having a cramp in my stomach?
Are you having an appendicitis right before our eyes? You didn't see that, Omar? He winced as you were starting your. He was
we
like doubled over and winced.
Whenever,
are you okay, Dave?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I just got a cramp in my stomach.
What?
Who gets a cramp in their stomach
in the middle of the podcast?
Well, I just walked 4 miles in this St. Louis heat,
and you're cramping up.
And I'm getting cramped. Yeah.
This is gold. Get back on camera. This is gold.
I don't have any camera.
This is YouTube gold,
Dave. I
blame
you, Omar, and your stupid HIV positive joke.
For the fans, you got to get back on camera so we can watch you wince.
All right. Go ahead.
Why were you walking 4 miles in? I don't understand that.
Well, I'll tell you how I'm doing. I'll talk about that.
Hydrate. Okay. Hydrate. Drink some water.
So I went to a wedding in London.
Yes.
All right. We and the wedding was on a safari
in London. There aren't really many safari animals in London.
No. Well, there's an area of London. You know, London is not just, there's other parts of the UK.
You said London. You said London.
Okay. United Kingdom.
Thank you.
Have you guys ever gone outside of London when you're in the United Kingdom?
In the jungles of the UK?
No, I have never gone on safari in the UK.
So there's an area of the UK called Kent.
Okay.
Okay. And Kent has an open air zoo, safari. So there was a wedding I went to there, and I have some questions. There was a couple of things that happened. We got there. We did this. We go to the wedding. The bar is not open. There's no alcohol being served. And the people say the drinks aren't being open until 4 p.m.
What time are you there?
This is 3 o'clock.
So an hour before.
People are just mingling and they're handing out glasses of champagne.
All right. So at least they're doing that. At least they're doing that.
I don't drink champagne. Do you?
I don't particularly love champagne, but I'll drink it.
So I paid. I set up a check at the bar.
No, you didn't.
I did. And I bought like 4 drinks.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I don't know if that's bad form. Is that bad form?
Yes. Well, why do you first? Okay, stop. You have an hour until the bar opens.
Let me walk you through other parts of this wedding.
You need 4 drinks in that
hour?
Why
would I get that for the people? That way I felt
no, other people.
Me.
I thought it was for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I'm, of course, killing time a little bit. And I come back, and the bride's dad, who was sitting at our table, who was American, by the way, he says to me, he's 78, 80 years old.
Yeah.
He goes, you know where to get any weed around here?
What?
And I go.
And why is he saying it to you?
Why are you asking me that? Because I'm brown?
Because you're brown.
He goes, well, no, I saw you smoking a joint around the corner.
Well, that's good proof. Yeah, he's got you there. He's got you there.
I got with this guy twice.
You did? You smoked with the 80-year-old dad? Oh my
God. Oh my God. And hilarious. He goes, you know what they say? You get five guys drunk, they fight. You get five guys stoned, they form a band.
Yeah. That's funny. That's a good line.
Yeah. And then when they gave out when the father of the groom, mm-hmm. that was the father of the bride.
Yep.
Father of the groom was giving a speech. He thanks the audience, and he goes, and I want to thank Omar
for
flying all the way over here from Puerto Rico. And I got to tell you, I've been to lots of weddings.
Yeah.
When people get thanked for being flying over, I don't care about that person flying over. But when it's you, man, did my heart start racing.
In a good way. In a good way?
Yes.
First of all, were you the only one who flew? They were all from the UK?
There were other people from other parts of the U.S.
So why didn't they thank them?
Because they regarded Puerto Rico as being like, I guess, next to Hawaii. I don't know.
It's not. It's not next to Hawaii.
I received it, though. I received the accolades.
Yeah.
Of course. You can't take
it away from you.
Yeah. You absolutely take that. Well, that was very nice of him. He recognized that.
Did you stand? Did you wave? How did you react?
Yeah.
I wanted to get up, so I did. And I know what to do with my hands. I just did this.
You raised the roof?
No, I said in Puerto Rico, this means thank you.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
It does.
It doesn't. It means raise the roof. Yeah. It means pit bulls on stage. That's what that means.
Yeah. So the other part of that trip, which was crazy, is I was walking to the farmer's market the next day with a group of my friends who live in London. And, you know, you guys remember I had my gold necklace.
Swipes.
I was stolen. Mugged in Barcelona a few weeks earlier.
Yes.
So I'm walking, and nice neighborhood in Notting Hill or whatever those neighborhoods are called.
Notting Hill.
And I'm walking, and with my hoodie on and this necklace, and I see these three guys. One of them staring at me, and he's staring at the necklace.
Are you sure?
And I had it out.
You always did what I did. Put it in.
I did this. I lifted up my hoodie and I put it beneath it.
Yep.
And the guy goes, "Oh, mate, you think I'm going to steal your necklace, do you? Is it because I'm black?"
Wow.
And he was black, by the way.
Well, yes, he wouldn't have said it if he wasn't.
And so were the other two guys with him.
Yeah.
And I go, no, it's not because you're black. He goes, yeah, it is. He goes, I'm going to steal your necklace, mate. And the two people I'm walking with did not break pace. I slowed down to engage them.
Why would you do that?
Because I wanted to talk to them, Josh. Yeah. And I said to them, listen to me.
Yeah.
I am black.
You're not.
Okay. Josh, I'm black. Okay.
I
said this. I'm like, guys, I'm black. I am not racist.
Yeah.
And then another black guy came out of a door. So what's going on here? What's going on? I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, look, I got mugged 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so I have a little bit of
angst.
I'm sorry.
Angst.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Did they buy that?
No.
Oh.
I don't think they bought the I am black thing either.
No, because you're not. Because they know you're not black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm like half black.
You're not half black.
Josh, there's a reason why that guy asked me to get high with him at the wedding.
Listen, this is going into dangerous territory. But here's what I'm going to say to you. You got to just keep moving. These guys, they're trying to start something.
Well, I don't know.
When they have an accent, it sounds so posh.
It does. Like, you're right. It definitely does.
I thought this is where you shine, Omar. This is where you can make them laugh.
Right.
And then
that's what I thought.
You confuse the situation. What happened to the?
I know. I felt that it was middle of the day, by the way.
So
it was extra safe. I don't know. I think the whole. I hate to say I PTSD from the necklace heist.
Yeah, you're shaking.
You do. I can understand that. Yeah, of course you do. I understand that. That's traumatic. I
hate PTSD. It's like shows like Jesse Ventura talking about people who have like religion. It's like for the weak-minded. You know, I don't want to have PTSD.
Dude, okay, first of all, you can have PTSD. It just happened. This just occurred. It was not that long ago that you got mugged. Getting mugged. It was only a matter of time before you're going to bring that stupid thing out and play.
I thought you were going to bring it out in one of my stories.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Anyway, all right. That's Dave, how are you doing?
Oh, thank you. Well, I feel intimidated because I haven't been to Hawaii and I haven't gone on a safari in
or Notting Hill.
Yeah.
And actually, David's never talked to a black person. So this is a lot of like, Dave hasn't done.
Oh, all these foreign experiences are just completely but I am learning more about myself. I've come to a conclusion. I think and I'm really kind of pretty happy about this. I think the result of our day-to-day stuff, like I am often at my desk doing emails while I'm talking to somebody and I'm also working on something, like my brain is always like in three different places.
Multitasking,
but it's never still, and you never kind of can get to any kind of deep thought and things like that. So what I found is I would do it once in a while is I would go for a walk, and there is a park near here and it's a 4-mile loop. And I find like whenever I walk, I like half the time I'll do a podcast and then the other half I'll listen to music. And my mind just like goes into overdrive. Yeah. It just, opens up. Yeah. I think really good ideas. And then what's weird is I have since read every article, maybe because my phone hears me walking or hears me talking about it, but I'm getting all these articles saying like the health benefits of just walking every day, 700, they say 7,000 to 10,000 miles. But it's the benefit of your brain expanding, or your brain is like, it's supposed to be good for your memory to walk and all this kind of stuff.
7,000 miles a day? That seems excessive.
Did I say seven steps? I'm sorry. Yeah. I got too excited.
You said miles. So 7,000 to 10,000 steps. Let's make sure people know that, or otherwise you're going to have a lot of heart attacks.
Yeah, that would be really, that would be pretty incredible. Yeah.
7,000 to 10,000 miles a day.
Every day. And then I get home and I got to do it all over the next day.
Yeah, that's right.
That's that song, right?
I would walk 5,000 miles and I would walk 5,000 miles.
No, it goes, I think Dave's verse goes, I would walk 8,000 miles until I get a stomach cramp and then I'm going to watch old Packers.
I love that song.
It's a great song. The Proclaimers.
But yeah, so now I am trying to walk every day, at least 3 to 4 miles every day.
Oh, good for you.
This is one of the signs you're getting old. This
good
is one
for
of
you.
Your,
yeah.
This is one of your things you want to do.
Is it? Old people walk.
But they do. They go walking.
Old people walk. Yeah. He's right about that.
I think it's undervalued. I think we don't give it the value that we should.
I think
you're
right.
It's like you should either running, like you're a runner that's really, you know, impressive and never wants to do marathons and things like that. But I think by doing that, you're all, the training is so, is taking up all of your brain power too. Like, you know, you have to pace yourself. You have to figure out how many miles am I going today and all this kind of stuff. Like you just want to like, just walk and then just let your mind just go. And music with it is incredible.
There you go. All right.
What kind of music is this? Are you playing that thousand song?
Proclaimers. He's listening to the
Proclaimers. Over and over again.
Over and over.
Da da da
da.
And I march.
But so, I think if anyone deserves a walk like that, it's Dave. Dave is one of the more selfless people that we know.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. I don't quite understand the compliment, but
it makes no sense. I don't know why you deserve a walk.
He needs time to himself. He's always making other people happy.
Everyone needs time to themselves.
Thank you. No, not like me. Not like me.
Not like Dave. Sorry.
No, it makes you.
I take it back.
So, all right, should we start the podcast?
Let's do it.
All right. So the podcast, if you've not listened before, what we do is we come together and talk about three things that happen in each of our life. One thing per person, not three things. I'm getting my numbers all mixed up.
You're way off numerically tonight.
I'm thrown off by the skit I had to play. I don't like being put on the spot to do your silly skits, Omar, where I got to ask you questions.
It really was. In Omar's defense, it was a pretty simple line, and I nailed it the first take.
I didn't know my motivation. I didn't have, I didn't know.
It's true.
It was completely out of the blue. So each of us will have something that happened to us since the last time we talked that we want to talk about. with each other. We do not know what that topic is, but I think we hinted at a couple in the pre-game show. But
well, just anyway, yours. I kind of hit on yours with accidentally.
You did.
And but I still don't know what it is. I still don't know the context of it.
Well, that is what the podcast is. If you would like to reach out to us after you hear this and think, man, I want to talk to these guys, you can email us at friends@fts.media is our email address. We have a website, friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. And then you can find us on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok at Friends Talking Shop. You check out our YouTube page. You can see me cramping up. Yes. Otherwise, if you're doing a podcast, you'll just have to hear it. So it is visually there for you all to look at.
Yeah, this one's worth it. I suggest everyone check out the cramping up.
Maybe you'll find it on Instagram soon. Yeah. All right. Usually we start off with you, Josh. What's your topic this week?
Yeah, listen, this is not too exciting, but it's something that that I heard the other day, and I just want to – it didn't bother me at first, and then it really started to bother me. And as I told you pregame, this kind of came to me as I was sleeping last night. So I listen to podcasts too, and one of the ones I listen to is called Vent This, and it's actually one that I was on not too long ago with Chrissy and Paul.
Are you plugging?
I'm not plugging it. No, I'm not plugging it. I'm not
selfish.
Plugging it, but I listen to their podcast.
I still think you're going to pull a Beyonce on us. Dave and I think about this all the time.
I am not going to pull a Beyonce. It's not going to happen. All right? Just relax.
Just so you know, we have replacements.
Okay, whatever. I'm not threatened by that whatsoever.
Did Destiny's Child just get back together? Like just recently?
They did?
They have a concert? I feel like I just read that.
I don't know. But even Timberlake gets back with NSYNC every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't worry. Don't worry. All right. I'll be back.
You'll come crawling back.
I'll come crawling back. No, I really like this podcast. It's called Vent This, and they vent about things, and that's the whole thing. And they vent about what people call in at particular events. And there was one, I usually agree with a lot of their stances, but this one I listened to them like, yeah, that's kind of silly. And I don't know.
Have they ever vented about air blowers in bathrooms? I fucking hate those. They're destroying my experience going to a bathroom.
Okay. So look, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I kind of like the air blower if it's a Dyson air blade, where the ones you stick your hand in, I love those.
So loud.
I don't give a shit that it's loud or you're in a public restroom. Who cares? Do you have one in your own bathroom?
You don't care about that?
Yeah, I don't think I care.
No.
God. I cover my ears.
If it's a weak one, I don't like it. If it's weak and I have to sit there forever and I have to hit the button again and again, then it's agitates me. And
Are you drying your hair?
Yeah, is that what you're doing? You're drying your hair?
No, I don't even use the goddamn thing.
Oh, right.
You don't like the Dyson Airblade?
No, I don't use any of that shit.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. And by the way, it's environmentally friendly. You're not using paper product.
As far as you know, it's burning other shit. You know, coal and shit. That's how those things work.
No, they're not. They're actually run. I saw a tutorial on one. When you open it up, there's a little gerbil on a hamster wheel, and it's going really, really fast.
Josh, you got me there, Josh.
Yeah, see?
You got me there.
You got to know the inner workings of these things. But anyway, they had one of the vents that they had on there was, I found like, I didn't even think twice about it. And then I was sleeping, and I'm like, it really bothered me. So someone called into their show. And was really upset about people who say, like, have a nice flight before a plane or travel safe before you go anywhere or fly anywhere. And then I expected, because I know them a little bit, I expected especially Paul to kind of shout that down, like, what are you talking about? That's just
a good friend, Paul.
But he's, look, I got it from listening. Just like how people listen to us, they kind of have a feeling of how we are.
Yeah.
You listen to the podcast over and over, you get a feeling of how people are. But both he and Chrissy just went off on it. Like, they agreed. They were like, I don't understand that. How can we control the flight that we're having? How can we travel safe? It's out of our hands. No one should say this, and it should be outlawed, and it's ridiculous. And I went, I can't agree less with that. It's just a nice thing to say. Sometimes in society, we have colloquialisms, right? And they're just niceties, and they're just things you say. It's just a phrase that doesn't have to necessarily mean anything.
How about have a nice life? Is that bad?
Well, have a nice life is kind of an F off type of thing. That is That's not meant to be polite and nice.
Yeah, I want to hear the context.
Yeah,
have a nice life.
No, it's never said like that. It's always said after some brutal fight or some separation where you're like, have a nice life.
Have a nice life.
That's how it's said. It's not said like how you're saying.
Have a nice flight. It is also a way to end a conversation very quickly.
That's right.
So my point is, I kind of agree with them. Unless, of course, let's say I say to you, Josh, let's say you're flying somewhere. Yeah. You're flying direct from Philadelphia to Hawaii.
Which is impossible.
And I go to you, Josh, have a nice flight.
Yeah.
Now, okay, wait a second. If I'm also following that up with, did you land okay?
No. Right? No. You're missing the whole point. The whole point is they were bitching because to say someone like travel safe, let's use that one better, all right? Or have a safe flight. Like they're saying, how do I have a safe flight? I can't have a safe flight. I don't have control over the flight.
How about if you're flying over like a war zone?
No, it doesn't matter. It's the whole point of it is
there's missiles and like fucking drones and shit.
Look, when someone asks you, hey, what's up or how you doing?
Uh-huh.
No one wants a real answer. The answer they want is just fine and move on.
Well, it's when you check into a hotel, same thing. Where are you coming from?
Same.
Do you have a nice flight?
Yes.
Do you have a nice flight?
Right.
No one cares.
No one cares.
You know my rule around this.
That's right.
When you're flying,
no one cares.
I don't want to hear about your flight unless you almost died.
Right.
You fell in love or you saw a celebrity.
Or you saw something weird or something funny happens or there's a fight on there or something. You want to hear about a flight where something odd happened.
I had such a nice flight.
Yeah. No one cares. No one cares. No one cares. And by the way, what they're referring to is safe flight. Have a safe flight. And again, it's not after the fact. It's before
the fact.
So let's
change it to something else.
No.
I hope you have an adventurous flight.
No. That's my point. Well, that's what they said. That's exactly what they said. We should change it and call it something else. We shouldn't say have a safe flight because you can't control that.
Seinfeld, right?
Yes.
Hello.
Okay. No, it's that you're so good looking. So that got me thinking.
You're so good looking.
It's so funny you bring that up because that got me thinking. So like we have all these niceties that we say as a society, right? And they don't mean anything and they don't have to mean anything. All they really mean is, you know.
We're done talking.
Yeah, we're done. And this is a polite way to say we're done. Right. So if I told you before I was going to Hawaii, you would say have a safe flight or travel safe. And I wouldn't think anything of it. I know I don't have control over my flight. I know that means nothing. I can't travel safe. There's no way for me possibly to do that other than to just buckle my seatbelt, I guess, in an airplane. But I don't take it that way. I don't take it that you want me to take all the safety precautions possible. That's not how I take it when I hear it. I just take it as have a good trip. Same thing, right? And so all these niceties that we say to one another on an ongoing basis, I think are just that. And they have to be just.
How about this? Ready? I hope you have a screaming baby sitting behind you.
Okay. See what you're doing? You're bad.
I hope your Wi-Fi doesn't work.
Yeah. These are mean things to say. They were trying to come up with something nice to say that takes the place that has meaning. And I don't think you need to do that is my point. That's my point.
How about ready? Statistically speaking. You should be okay.
That one I like.
That
one I like. I like that one. I like that one. Yeah. I like that one.
Well, I have to give a different perspective here.
Go ahead, please.
From someone who is afraid to fly.
Very good. Right? Yeah, yeah.
So if someone said this, have a safe flight to me, I go, thank you. Thank you. I hope I do have a safe flight. It's almost like a good luck charm. You know, I hope you have a safe flight. I hope it's a good flight. I hope that's like, thank you, I do too. Like, it's encouragement, something that I'm like nervous about. So it's actually for
you
some
view it,
people.
For you, it's a very major positive.
Yes.
What if someone says travel safe to you? Does that still mean the same thing or do you dissect it?
Because I'm like, I'm about to get on a plane. I hope it's safe. Yep. So
there
that,
you go.
That to me is meaningful.
Thank you. So there's a lot of these things that we say to one another that are pointless, that you can't really dig into the meaning. It's not like a Riley Green song where you need to dissect it and prove how stupid it is because it really has no meaning. These are things that are not supposed to have literal meanings. They're just niceties, and we need to take them at face value for being niceties. The only one I would change, because then it got me thinking like, oh, would I change any of them? And I started going through my head like all those stupid things we say to one another and conversationally that really no one should take literally. The only one we do is the sneeze. I don't know how that started when we say God bless you on a sneeze, right?
Yeah, right.
So I'm thinking like, really, you don't, that seems very strong. because I guess when it started, and correct me if I'm wrong, or even if you know, but when it started, I would imagine like a sneeze would indicate that you're sick or ill. And probably in the early days, it meant you're probably going to die real soon.
No.
So you're going to
actually know this.
You know this?
I think I know this.
Oh, yeah. Please tell me the origin.
So back in the day when you sneezed, they felt that you were like releasing good spirits or like good like vibes or something was leaving you. And so or something bad was happening to you like spiritually or
yeah.
Or like maybe you're attacked under something. But I think it's something so that people would say, God bless you, to like regenerate your good spirits or something. I think there's something about that in its history.
Oh, that's interesting. I always thought it was a health thing. Because I grew up in a Gesundheit house. So we didn't say
good. Is, you know what that means?
It means good health.
It means good health.
It means good health. Boy, that just shot your theory right there. Yeah.
Well, no. Hold on. Keep going.
Okay. So because my grandparents were Austrian, and so they spoke German. And so I always just grew up with anyone sneeze, them saying Gesundheit. And my mother did it too. And so we always did it. Right?
Is that German?
It's German. Yeah. Gesundheit is German.
Are you allowed to say that as someone who's Jewish?
Yes. The German language is not prohibited from us. Yes.
No. All right, are you sure about the God bless you thing?
He might not be.
There's two reasons. Okay. I think we both might be right. Pope Gregory I came from him. The tradition often is attributed to Pope Gregory I during the bubonic plague outbreak, where sneezing was thought as a signal of imminent death, and the phrase was a blessing of protection. But it also says soul belief. There was a belief that a person's soul could be expelled during a sneeze, and saying bless you was a protective measure to safeguard the soul from evil spirits.
Okay. So that one makes less sense than the first one.
Yeah. I'm not saying it makes
sense. You can't
sense,
argue but, that, right?
Yeah. Right.
So look, it's really a health thing. And so my point is, we obviously back then with the bubonic plague, if you sneezed, everyone thought you were going to die within the next 20 to 30 minutes, which was probably true, right? We don't have that now. If you sneeze, it probably means you got seasonal allergies and it's really not a big deal. So we probably should save the God bless yous when you really need something strong to fight what you got. I think we change it. Am I ready for this? This is going to be earth shattering because I think society needs to listen. No more God bless you for sneezing. I want only God bless yous for vomiting. When you hear vomiting, God bless you, because that seems a lot more serious than a sneeze, right? If you're vomiting, something's wrong and you need some help.
Yep.
And therefore,
it
makes more sense.
Can you go back to the initial God bless you? If someone sneezes more than once, do you have to say God bless you again?
Yeah, that's annoying, but you're supposed to. Yeah, it's very – unless they're a chain sneezer. If you know they're a chain sneezer, you can wait till the end of the chain.
Wait till the end, right.
Yes.
But if there's like 10 seconds in between, I kind of feel the obligation to say it twice.
Wow, okay. Yeah, well, if it's in between, yes. But if they keep going, it's like it gets annoying.
What's funny about this is Omar, you weren't there, right? But when we first – 10 years ago or so, we would put on a conference. We put on a conference each summer and we had one guy who would always be up speaking, and for 3 years in a row, someone sneezed in the audience and he said, bless you from the podium. And I thought it was funny the first time. It happened to him 3 years in a row. I don't know if you remember
that.
Same person was speaking.
I don't remember this time around, but I do remember you bringing attention to it.
I was like, I cannot believe it happened again. And he said, God bless you 3 years in a row. It was crazy.
Well, listen, someone's going to sneeze. In an audience of a couple hundred people, you're going to get a sneeze within a
really?
1 hour. Yeah, within 45 minutes. I think any 45-minute period.
Oh, I disagree.
Really? 200 people? You could take 200 people.
Yep.
You're telling me you're not going to get one sneeze in any 45-minute
increment.
I think
you need 1,000 people in an hour.
Oh, come on. I don't buy that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think because we have quite a few events, and I don't know if anyone's ever sneezed.
That's obviously not true. That's obviously. Look, if you have a room full of 30 people, this is going to be sort of, it's not going to really prove my point, but it's whatever. It's statistics. If you have a room full of 30 people, the chances of two people having the same birthday are very high. And that's only 30 people.
What?
Yes. Look that up. That is absolutely the truth. So
is it like 1 in 10 chance?
No, it's way higher. Way higher. Way
higher.
1
in 30 people have the same birthday.
Impossible.
Wait,
that makes no sense.
Say that stat again.
If you have a room of 30 people,
yeah,
statistically speaking, two of them have a very high chance of having the same birthday.
So that means it's one out of 15?
No, I don't know what it is. Wait, you, I'm just telling
you're
you.
Saying, you're
I don't
saying
know the answer. Not, I wasn't prepared for this. This was not my topic.
You're saying if you have 30 people, inaccurate. There's
like, inaccurate.
There's
all right, we'll look it
there's
up.
There's no way. There's
okay.
no way.
One in 365 chance.
I get it. I get it. What I'm telling you.
Do you?
Yeah,
bless
I do
your
get
heart,
it.
Josh, bless your heart.
I'm going to look it up when it's your turn, when it's your topic, because I'm not going to pay attention during your topic. That'll be a perfect opportunity for me. But this, I will look it up and come back to you. But right. I'm just telling you. Anyway, getting back to this, what do you think about that change? We change, God bless you, because it's too much. It's too much. We don't need that. People sneeze all the time. People sneeze 15 times in a row. I don't need all these God bless yous. It's too much. Let's reserve it for vomiting when you see vomiting or hear vomiting.
See, but I don't want to be around vomiting. Like,
no one wants to be around vomiting. But if
so
you happen to be.
So I'm running away saying God bless you. It feels
if you hear it, you got to say it. That's what I'm saying. And it's nice because that's a really time of need. When I sneeze, it's not really a time of need. It's not a big deal. I don't need anyone's support when I sneeze. I need support when I'm vomiting.
I don't know. When I'm vomiting, the last thing I want is to hear from somebody. I don't want anyone near me. I want to be completely by myself. So I actually don't think it's helpful. Whereas a sneeze, I feel like a sneeze, the God bless you also covers the ground of, hey, you just made a weird loud noise. You did it. We recognize it. Everyone's cool with it. And we move on. So it's kind of also has a second purpose.
But everyone's cool with sneezing anyway.
Well, no, not always. If you sneeze and no one says anything, I think it's kind of a kind courtesy to say, like, God bless you.
Okay.
Like, look, you did something weird. You just shouted randomly.
It's not weird.
Well,
it's not
it
weird.
Is. It well, is kind of weird.
All right. So let's say we're at a conference and you're up on the podium and someone starts vomiting in the stands.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to look at them. Now, if you said, hey, God bless you, I think that would diffuse the whole situation.
I think you'd have to get everyone on board because otherwise you look like a big jerk. You should get them a bucket.
All right. Let me wrap my topic up at a bow here. Right. Where are we with safe flight? Are you guys cool with that or do we need to change that? I know, Dave, you are. Omar, you don't seem to be cool with that. You seem to take the stance of Chrissy and Paul on that one that's got to be changed because it's not appropriate or it doesn't mean anything.
No, yeah. No, I much prefer, I hate niceties.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I can never work for a company.
You want to get rid of all of them.
Everybody always says, how you doing? How was your weekend?
Right.
They don't care.
No, but it's a passing thing. It's the same thing as saying
hi. That's my point. I don't want to have passing. I'd rather just not talk to you. Don't talk to me.
Oh, boy. All right.
Unless you have something clever to say or something that makes me laugh.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So you're against
all
of them.
That's why I like the statistically speaking thing. I like that one.
Yeah, that one is very good. I like that one a lot, actually.
I'd appreciate that. That would also be.
Would you guys ever want to be with somebody or friends with somebody who persistently clapped?
When you landed? I hate it so much. I hate it so much. That happened on almost all my flights in Hawaii, and it drives me nuts. It's so stupid.
How many flights to Hawaii do you take? What is going on right now?
If you remember my beginning, I had to get a connector. So that's four flights, two out, two back. Everyone clapped.
But the first one, the connector landed in Phoenix.
It doesn't matter. People clap. It's so stupid.
Really? You have that high of a clap ratio?
Yes. It for some reason, it follows me.
Over 70%?
Yes. Yes.
Whoa.
Now, Now, when I was going every month to St. Louis in those days, I wasn't getting claps on that flight because it was, that was basically a commuter point. But when you're on those big body planes with families and stuff, people clap and it drives me. It's the same thing. And I'm not let me preface my comment. I'm not equating pilots to bus drivers, but it's the same thing as if you took a Greyhound bus to Atlantic City and then clapped when it pulled into the parking spot. It doesn't. It's so stupid. That's their job.
Josh,
their job is to transport people.
Josh, are pilots heroes?
Okay, don't get me started on this.
To me, they are.
To be a pilot is not like a bus driver. It's not a bus driver. I'm not equating it to a bus driver. All I'm saying is it's transporting people. That's your job, transporting people from one point to another. You should not be clapping if they do exactly what they're supposed to do.
Right.
You're so lucky that you don't have a fear of flying. To me,
I think I am.
Clap,
you're right. I am
on the
lucky.
Inside, I'm clapping.
Yeah, on the inside, you're clapping.
I'm thanking
yeah.
all the people in my mind to tell me to have a safe flight. They're right. That cab driver was, he helped me.
You know, would you clap when you take a taxi cab? Now, look, if the guy did some maneuver and avoided a major accident, yeah, okay. If I was on the Sully plane that landed in the Hudson River, I'm clapping for that one. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but probably not at the moment. Yeah, I'm not an immediate clapper.
Yeah, I'm not clapping for a normal plane and takeoff and landing. It's stupid. It drives me crazy. I hate it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's anyway.
And that's all I got to say about that.
How do we?
Yeah, that's how you end it.
That's
right
a nicety
there.
That you keep.
Yes. Yeah, now, unfortunately, right. You can't go to Omar because he got up.
I was just about ready to throw it to him, and
yeah,
all
can't.
I see is an empty chair.
Impossible.
So
no, I'm here.
What are you doing? Why aren't you on camera?
Are you getting your food?
I had an emergency.
Are you ready with your topic, or should I go ahead?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell us what the emergency was first?
Chachi boy needed to go inside the house.
Okay.
It's very hot sitting out here.
Got it. Got it. Yeah. Makes sense. It's a hot day, by the way, for those listening. We're in the 90s.
So
today.
I heard something the other day, and it made me think, well, of you guys.
Okay.
In 1995, MacArthur Wheeler and Clifton Earl Johnson robbed two banks in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
At gunpoint, without attempting to even disguise themselves. Instead, they had this weird juice over this liquid over their face. They got about $6,000, $10,000, right? And they were eventually caught on the third bank that they robbed. They even smiled at the cameras.
They'd robbed them
they
all.
Leaving.
They robbed them all in the same day? Or this was.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And at one point, as I mentioned, they smiled into the camera. And so when they were caught, they told them, the police, that they were certain that this lemon juice was made them invisible. This is a true story.
They said this.
Yes. You know.
So they thought they were going in banks. No one saw them. They were robbing them and walking out.
Yes. One of the guys tested the method by covering his face with lemon juice and capturing an image of it with a Polaroid camera. As he was missing from the resulting photograph, he trusted the method to be effective.
When did this happen?
Detectives believe.
When did this happen?
1995.
Okay.
Detectives believe his absence in the image was caused either by bad film, a maladjusted camera, or Wheeler having unintentionally pointed the camera away from his face. Okay, yeah, this is all true.
This is crazy.
All right?
Yeah.
When he was arrested, Wheeler was shocked and exclaimed, "But I wore the lemon juice. I wore the lemon juice." And so this was in 1999. Two psychologists, there was an effect that was that's called a Dunning-Kruger effect.
Okay.
And this came from this, where they found that people who are bad at something often lack the self-awareness to recognize their shortcomings.
I don't like where you're going with this. I don't like where you're going with this. I don't like where you're going with this.
So they rate themselves much higher than they actually are.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so my point is, I think of, you understand what this means, right?
Yeah,
someone
I do.
Like practices a few chords on a guitar and they could play Coachella.
Yes.
Yes. Well, Josh, I'm just curious.
Yeah, here we go. I knew it.
Wait a second.
I knew it.
How are you internalizing me bringing this up to you? You act like I know where I'm going.
You're about to insult either Dave or I or both of us.
Plus, you started off the story by saying, "I thought of you guys when
yes,
I read the story." Do
correct.
You recall saying that?
That's what you said. I thought of you two.
The delivery could have been a little better for me. I will say that. But do you guys, I mean, we all are aware of this, right?
Yes.
Many of us.
Yes.
I've seen this in life.
Yes. Look at American Idol. Just watch American Idol. Those people go in there, think they are amazing and they can sing, and they are horrendous. No one hears how bad your singing is. I think I'm a good singer. I know I'm a bad singer. But every once in a while when I sing to a song, I go, ah, that actually sounded pretty good.
I could be in the radio, yeah.
Right.
So, Dave, wait a second. So Dave, how do you feel about this? Do you feel that this is a term that I think that we should actually start acknowledging more people?
What term? Dunning-Kruger?
Yep.
Yeah.
That good memory, Josh. Good recall.
So you're saying—
You just said it 20 seconds ago.
So you're saying you want to be able to say that guy has it bad, or this, he has it mild, or, you know, so his Dunning-Kruger effect, he's a 10 out of 10. Is that, you want to start labeling people this way?
Yeah. I think this applies to so many things in life, right? Politics.
Yeah.
Running a business.
Everything.
Being a parent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you overestimate your ability to do something. What do you guys have? Has that happened to you recently with anything?
Well, are you asking where I got knocked down a peg because I thought I was better than what I was?
Yeah. Did you have, for example, have you ever put lemon juice on your face?
I did, but I did not rob a bank when I did it.
Like,
you ran into the girls' locker.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it was when I first got a motorcycle. I had a Vespa for 18 years in New York.
Yeah, let's make sure people know it's not a motorcycle. It was a Vespa.
Wait a second.
You're doing it with identifying the vehicle. You're doing a Dunning-Kruger right there.
No. That's my point, is that in year 18 of riding a Vespa seamlessly, being trained by an Italian how to ride it, I got a motorcycle.
You got a real motorcycle.
Okay. A 1969. I'm like, I can ride this. I've been riding a Vespa for 18 years in New York City.
Yeah.
Right? And I sputtered. I couldn't get started.
Okay, but that's not Dunning-Kruger.
I overestimated my ability.
No. Dunning-Kruger, from the way you described it, would be as if you hopped on the motorcycle, drove it, was all over the place, couldn't keep a straight line, nearly fell off, nearly hit people, parked and went, nailed it. That's Dunning-Kruger.
Here's the formal definition of the word.
Please.
The Dunning-Kruger effect is a cognitive bias,
right,
where people with low ability or knowledge in a particular area tend to overestimate their competence.
Yeah. Correct.
While those who are more skilled or knowledgeable often underestimate their ability.
Oh, yeah, actually, we didn't know that part.
The other way around.
We didn't know that part, yeah. Yeah, so for example, as I bring back the singing thing, it's not someone who hears the radio and goes, oh, I can do that, I can sing, and then does it.
Josh, what do you say? If I said to you, Josh, what are you good at?
Yeah.
Okay, like when you play field hockey.
I don't play field hockey.
What is it? What is it called?
It's called deck hockey.
Okay.
And I do not have Dunning-Kruger with deck hockey. I know.
Yeah,
you
don't.
You're realistic about your
I'm very realistic about that.
So if Dave and I saw you play, would we say, wow? Josh is actually.
No, you're not going to say wow. I think I hold my own. I don't think I'm the best guy out there by far.
Are there any videos of you playing
table hockey? I don't know. I don't know if there's videos. I know that they videotape every game, so I'm sure that the place has it all. They have it all logged, but there's no way to get it.
What are you? So this is the question to you guys.
Yes.
What are you guys consider yourself to be top decile at?
Oh, top decile? That's a high mark.
Yeah, because if you ask yourself, what are you high? What is the effect on you? You wouldn't be able to answer that because you don't know that. So you're asking what we think we're great at.
Top decile is tough. I think when I was a kid, I was really good at a game called quoits. I was really good at quoits.
Quoits.
You never heard of quoits?
That?
So quoits is, we played this at overnight camp. Picture two slanted wooden boards with a metal pole sticking out of the middle of it. Okay? And then picture a horseshoe, but instead of a
Festivus? What are you talking
instead
about?
Instead of a horseshoe, it's a circular horseshoe, basically, that's rubber. And it's flat on one side and beveled on the other. And then you throw it and you try to ring the ring on the other board. And you try to land it on the board and you get points. It's a game. It's a yard game. I was very good at that. You asked what I'm trying to come up with something. I was very, very good at quoits.
Is it because no one's ever played this before?
No, we all played it at camp. We all played
this by yourself, Josh.
No, and I won quite a bit there. But that's I can't think of anything top decile is like top. That's you are exceptional.
Okay, well, but that's like your best. Okay, maybe a better way to phrase it. What are you best at that you think that you're like, this is my thing?
To say, what is your thing? Maybe what do you think you're good at? Better than most?
I don't know. Lawn games.
Josh, I would say with you, Josh.
Yeah.
It is, you have an uncanny sense of humor.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You occasionally have rapier wit.
Yeah, occasionally. Quick-witted, I think I would say he's top.
All right, I will take that. I appreciate that. What about Dave?
Yeah.
What do you think Dave's
with Dave, he's definitely top decile.
Walking.
Pensive.
Pensive.
What? I don't want to be just pensive.
He's an excellent walker. He walks 7,000. He walks 7,000 miles a day.
Let me see you try that.
And by the way, I've seen Dave walk. Never seen him fall. Every time he's walked, he stands upright. Yeah,
that's true.
Never fallen.
Man,
Dave, what is your thing? Like, can you recite like the Psalm 8:16 from the Bible or something like that?
But that's just memorization. That's not a skill.
Yeah, there's not over 800 Psalms. I don't think. My thing used to be
volleyball.
Volleyball, doubles, and so. But it's hard to say that was I'm top decile. It was. So
yeah, that's
I
too high.
Thinking,
a,
no, no,
too
no.
High
today,
a bar. That's
today.
Too high a bar.
But today. Today.
You're top decile listener.
He's
nice.
He's good at Netflix.
Dave is also full of empathy.
Empathy. I think that's.
What about Netflix? You excel at Netflix, Dave.
I do. I probably not top decile. I'm not. I have a pretty good confidence in what I do for my job.
You should.
I feel
yes.
like I feel like I can kind of size up to other people that do what I do, and
definitely.
I feel pretty good about it.
And I'm not saying that just because you're my boss.
I didn't know how to even respond to that.
I mean it with every fiber of my being.
I think with me, I can make anyone laugh within 15 seconds of meeting them.
Okay. That is a very tall order. And by the way,
give me 30 seconds.
That's still a tall order. 30 seconds is not a long period.
You can make anyone laugh in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Or smile or like.
Well, you didn't do it with those guys who called you out for putting your chain
underneath.
That was
when my streak was broken. But look. I'm generally speaking really good at, and David even said it, like I can make an awkward moment into a laughing one.
Yeah. Well, that's what you said.
You can. That's true.
And I was.
I'll give you that. I will definitely give you that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will say, like, sometimes I get thrown into things. Like, whenever anyone has a birthday party or like whatever, it's always like, Omar, please say something. And I don't want to talk sometimes, but you got to.
But you're good at public speaking. You're very good at public speaking.
Am I?
I was trying to come up with something.
Yeah, I think you're better at it, actually.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You are very, very good, Josh.
Well, Omar, I think it's a creative risk-taking. Like, I think that's where you would be, like, in the upper echelons of normal human beings.
You're good at risk-taking. Let's put that. You are. You're excellent at risk-taking.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Until it isn't.
Yeah. And even actually, yeah, no, you're right.
You're creative. You're very creative. You're a very creative person.
Wow.
You're very good at merchandising. How about that? You love to merchandise.
What? What? I mean, yeah, thinking outside the box, that like just seeing something and then seeing it differently. I think there's a certain type, entrepreneurial type of people. I think you've got that.
You've got that. You're very entrepreneurial, and I think that's a good quality.
I think the thing is, it's combinations. It's not like I'm the best volleyball player, or it's like I feel like for me, it's like there's not many people that do what I do that we're good at volleyball too, or like so. It's like combinations. Like I'm a unique
in your
person.
World,
I know what it is, Dave.
In your universe,
ready? I know what it is, Dave. Ready? Dave's T cubed is. As low as almost anyone I've ever met.
My what?
Your what?
Your T cubed.
What's a T cubed?
Good.
T cubed is It's really low. T cubed is your time to trust.
Oh, what, did,
how quickly is can that you meet a stranger?
Is that a common
and they trust you?
Is that a common phrase that people know? T cubed.
I never heard that before. I think that's actually true. I think that's.
I think that's true too.
I think that's
very true. Are we done blowing smoke up each other's asses?
My topic? Yeah.
Oh, hold on! Before you do your topic, Dave, I looked it up as I promised I would. In a room of 23 people, there's a roughly 50% chance that at least two people share the same birthday.
I don't believe it.
Thank you very much. That's right here. I'm looking at it right now.
I don't understand that statistic.
It's called the birthday paradox. It's called the birthday. Look up the birthday paradox.
This is insane.
In a room,
I was talking about the Eiffel Tower paradox earlier today.
Okay, but that's not the birthday paradox.
You know what that is?
No. What's the Eiffel Tower
99%
paradox?
99% of Parisians have never been to the Eiffel Tower.
Okay, that's not true.
What?
It is.
Well,
it is. That's why it's a paradox, because it's just there. They don't go.
Because it's there.
It's like not going to the Statue of Liberty living in New York City. Yeah. Tourists go there.
All right. That makes sense. I could see that. But,
what is this thing called? What's the name of this
paradox? It's called the birthday paradox. In a room. Here's the statistic, and it's a fact. In a room of 23 people, there's a roughly 50% chance that at least two people share the same birthday. Thank you. I was correct. I said 30. I was wrong. It's 23 people.
It's such a weird statistic.
It is.
Wait,
it blows your mind because you're thinking.
Why can't you say in a room of 20, there's a 50% chance?
There's a roughly 50% chance two people in that room of 23 share the same birthday.
Why wouldn't you say there's a one in 100 chance, or it's a 1 out of 46 in a room full of 46 people instead of 23?
No, that's not what it is.
I don't understand the stat. You're
why don't you understand?
50% Listen, of a 23. Why don't you just say there's
no. You're not listening. In a room of 23 people.
Yeah.
Picture room, 23 people.
I do.
50% chance that two of them have the same birthday. 50% chance two of them have the same birthday.
So that means if you had one room of 23 people and another room of 23 people, there is a chance that one of those rooms has the same birthday.
Yes.
So why wouldn't you say... In a room full of 46 people, there's a chance that there's one birthday. Why would you say
that's
that?
Because that's not statistically accurate.
It's the same thing.
No, it's not. It's like flipping a coin twice. It's 50% chance. 50% chance of heads or tails.
Omar, do you understand what I'm saying?
I do understand what you're saying, but I can't statistically get there. I don't know. Maybe you're right, but I can't get there.
All
I'm saying is I was right, and that there's a very large percentage, and I was right, that two people share the same birthday at only 23 people, even though there's 365 days.
You said that someone sneezes every, 30 minutes?
I would think that you're going to get one sneeze every 45-minute increment of a room of 200 people.
Yeah, I think that's insane. I think that's right.
Okay, this is a perfect opportunity for people to email us.
Yeah.
Perfect opportunity.
Any statisticians out there?
Yes.
All right, let me do my topic.
Do your topic. What do you got?
So my topic is I watched a documentary this week that really got in my head. And Josh, you brought it up right in the pregame.
In the pregame, yeah.
And it's the documentary of Billy Joel.
Awesome documentary.
It was really good. Omar, have you seen it?
No, but I know Billy Joel.
Yes. Well, we have a pretty good history of Billy Joel because when one of our first episodes.
Yes.
Wow. We destroyed a relationship of mine. Destroyed it.
It did.
To this day, the guy would not pick up my phone calls.
Yeah. Well, you can make him laugh in 30 seconds, I bet. That's put you to the test.
Retell that, Dave. Remind the audience of what happened.
It's actually, I think, an inspiration of one of the podcasts is we were at a dinner with a bunch of people. As we normally do, we ask questions like, whatever. And
the
question came up of favorite Billy Joel song. And we went around the table and said our favorite Billy Joel song. I said Allentown. And I will say after watching the documentary, I feel somewhat justified that my pick was not as poor
as.
It's a great song. And it was during a time when he was becoming more sort of politically active or concerned about the
plight. More serious.
So I felt a little bit better. But one guy on the table said we didn't start the fire.
Right.
And we... crushed this poor person,
crushed
made fun of him the whole time.
Yes.
We had the band play We Didn't Start the Fire to
we
laugh
did.
At it. On the ride back to the hotel, we played it on the radio. And then we lost his friendship. Yeah.
Yes, it was over.
probably because we didn't know him well, and 20 strangers were making fun of him.
And ironically, in that case, we indeed started the fire.
Yes, we did.
That exact case, yeah.
The fire that burned down the bridge of a relationship. Yes,
yes, that's correct. That's exactly right.
But there are a number of things that popped in my head about this Billy Joel documentary. I was just fascinated by it.
Awesome.
First of all, I watched it with my wife, and we assumed he's a good guy, it's great songs, but when does he leave his wife for Christie Brinkley, right?
That's what I did too. I said the same, because I watched it with my wife as well, and I thought, okay, when does he dump her to get with Christie Brinkley?
Wait, I remember this. He was in St. Bart's.
Yes.
He was at St. Bart's.
He was in St. Bart's.
And he was playing the piano with Elle McPherson.
Yes. Yep. That's correct.
And Christie Brinkley.
Yes.
Right. And he was dating Elle McPherson.
No, he was not. So he was not. I thought that too. I said that to my wife
also. He dated her at one point.
I said that too, but that never came up in the documentary.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought that too.
Christie Brinkley said that Elle McPherson came along and started to flirt with Billy Joel. And
yes.
But the other thing that was crazy while he's playing the piano in St. Bart's is there was a third model that came up and said, can I join? I can sing. And it was Whitney Houston.
Campbell? It was Whitney Houston.
That's right. That's
Whitney
right.
Houston. Crazy? That's nuts.
So, yes. Well, it turned out, because my wife has kind of got her arms crossed the whole time waiting for, you know, him to leave for a supermodel, because I think she assumes that's probably what's I'm going to do, is I think.
I think you'll leave for a supermodel eventually.
Yeah. I want to
give it. Maybe in 10 years.
Give it time. But apparently he and his first wife separated. And amicably, right? And he went on vacation because he was burned out, went to St. Bart's, was playing the piano. Christian Brinkley came up. They got his friendship, and they end up getting married, which is, like, beautiful, right? Now Billy Joel is, like, that much better, right? He's a good – he did steal his first wife from his friend.
But the way it happened, the way they tell the story, especially the way his friend tells the story, too, because his friend tells the exact same story, you kind of understand how it happened. You get it.
Yeah.
And they were it wasn't like, you know, he was having major problems with his wife. It wasn't like they were fine and then Billy Joel came and swept her up off her feet.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. So and it happened over time and a very long time and they were all living together. So it's not ideal by any stretch. And his friend hit him and it severed their friendship, but by the way, got repaired later on.
Yeah. Right.
But it's kind of understandable, at least sort of.
Billy Joel is involved in the project, so you know they did not paint it as a real negative. I'm not, you know,
but they interviewed his friend who used to be married
to
her.
That's true. I think he works for Billy Joel now too. So there's a little.
It sounds like Josh and Dave there.
That's right.
Yes. It
wait,
does.
Wait, Dave. Hold on a second, Dave. Wait, wait, wait. Did you steal Josh's girlfriend?
That's nothing like that.
Yes.
One, there's one thing I picked up on, and then I have a general, broader question I want to ask you guys.
Okay.
So they're telling the story about when he's dating Christie Brinkley, right?
Yes.
I don't know if he's married or dating, but she's telling about one of the dates they went on. They go to a Beach Boy concert.
Yes.
And she goes, well, of course they pull Billy Joel up on stage. And so he's playing the piano at the Beach Boys concert. And then he goes home with Christie Brinkley, right?
Yeah.
I was just thinking, imagine someone the next day say, hey, Billy, how was your day yesterday? What day was better than that? To go to, like, right? That has to be, like, in top 10 days.
I would say for you, Dave, it'd be walking 8 miles and going home with your wife.
Yeah, And not cramping up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today is not one of those days, unfortunately. Yeah. I thought, what a good day that was.
Look.
Yeah.
Look. This is the wonder and majesty of musicians. You can be not the best looking guy. Now Billy Joel's not ugly, but he's not the best looking guy either, right?
Really? Yeah. Billy Joel's like a 5 out of 10.
I think he's a little higher than that, but not
he's
much.
Like 5'6".
Yeah,
five
he's eight. Short. You're yeah. right. He is yeah. short.
Come but, on, dude. He's like but, a 5 out of 10.
But physically. Look at Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger is hideous. Hideous.
Mick Jagger.
Hideous. Yeah. Steven Tyler.
But Mick Jagger's got the vibes.
That's what I'm saying.
Billy Joel ain't got no vibes.
You're wrong.
Mick Jagger on stage, he's moving his body. Billy Joel just playing. Again, I'm a big Billy Joel fan.
Stop. Steven Tyler is hideous. hideously ugly. I mean, just he's a two, right? Billy Joel, that's the magic. And he said it every time. And he actually talked about when I don't remember this exactly, Dave, help me out. But it was somewhere where it was after the Christy Brinkley relationship, where he's with another woman and he gets behind the piano to play for her and it did nothing for her. And he's like, oh, okay. But he said he's like, that was his magic.
Yeah.
He would always get behind a piano. It was like it was his cover. It made him more comfortable, made him feel better, made him able to talk to people. And so you can picture he's in St. Bart's and there's a piano in the bar he's going to, and he immediately goes to it because he just can't help himself.
All of a sudden, boom.
And then all of a sudden, you know,
unbelievable.
All these swimsuit models that were shooting in St. Bart's flock over like, oh, it's Billy Joel. It's the piano man. And it's an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that he's a 5 or a 6. He's a 10 in that circumstance. He's an absolute 10 in that. And so even more so, he takes Christy Brinkley out to a date at the Beach Boys concert. He's already a gem in her eyes. And then the Beach Boys invite him up on stage. That's like the ultimate. Come on.
What day after that? It's almost like, you know, Neil Armstrong going to the moon. Billy Joel got pulled up on stage. It's one of the top 10 days of all time, I thought. That's what an incredible. The only thing I want to ask you guys is the whole documentary thing, I thought, you know, Billy Joel's in it and he can tell his story from his perspective. I feel like there's a business opportunity. Omar, you need to help me out with this.
Ooh,
to create through AI or whatever, is to create like an HBO-like documentary for people. And
say, that'd be great.
Let you do it. Like you can give tell your story, pictures, and like you create documentaries for people. And I thought, it would be kind of cool. I'm not ready to have my life all summarized yet, but you know, toward the end of my life is have a documentary made. And my dad now, I'd love to make, he's writing like kind of
great
memories
call.
In a book, like to make a documentary about someone's life and then you interview them and like do that. I wonder if there's a way to do that. I think it'd be so cool to make that as a company. You think that's around?
I agree. I think it's close because all you're going to have to do at some point in time, someone will create a product where it'll ask you like a series of questions.
Yeah.
And you'll fill them out and then it will automatically, and you
give
put
it
in
pictures,
give it pictures and then it'll create that whole thing for you. I don't see that being far away at all.
Yeah, it feels like all the pieces are there.
Yes,
right? It's
all the pieces are there.
Creating a video that long, you know, a 2-hour documentary of your life. But
well, his is 5. It was 2 parts.
Yes. Well, he's got a lot going on. He had one day at where he's pulled up on stage. That would be my the climax of my story.
Yeah.
But what do you think, Omar? Would you want to do a documentary of your life?
Of course, he would.
I've been asked this before.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, we have people who want to do behind the scenes for LW3. And stuff. And as a matter of fact, I get mic'd more and more at our events for my common conversations just to like create a whatever. The problem with this, of course, is that it taps into the id part. And I don't want to do anything about ego or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's so self-absorbed.
Yes.
And so I would never want to do it. What I think it could be potentially fascinating to see, like the fact that I literally make fun of everyone that I talk to. Like when they did it with me at one of our events, they played me the audio and everyone I talked to, I made fun of them within like
2 seconds. You know,
yeah. About anything. I would make up random things.
But that's your love language.
That's my love language.
Yeah.
Ridicule. Ridicule and pizza.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's right. That's right. So I think that would be, but the idea of like thinking that other people would want to see it to me is just like, makes me feel icky.
So I thought of it more for it's not for the general public. It would be for yourself and for your loved
family.
Ones after you pass on. It would be really cool to have. But like when you think about the general, like you think about Billy Joel, by the way, and I encourage anyone who's not seen this to watch it because his story is way more than his music. I mean, it is fascinating.
Well, his music is his story. Like
his music is his story, but you're not watching a documentary going, and then I made this song, and then I made this song, and then I mean, the things, the trials and tribulations in his life with his father, with his upbringing, with his suicide attempts, with his, I mean, his drinking, his relationships, his manager who scammed him. I mean, it's like there's a such depth to that story. It's astounding. It's amazing. I was glued to it. I loved it.
Yeah, it was really good.
But something on us, I don't think would nearly be as riveting, obviously. But
no,
for your loved ones. But yeah. Think about it this way, Dave. Like when someone dies and you go to a funeral, people usually have like a video montage, you know, like a pictures and videos, and they set it to music.
Don't forget the Sarah McLachlan music. Go on.
Right. In the arms of a stranger. In the arms of... Right, exactly.
An angel.
An angel. That, not a stranger. That'd be weirder. Although I am going to make a song story. Now. By the way, I'm copywriting it. No one take it. My new hit is In the Arms of a Stranger.
It's a little weird.
I think you're conflating the stranger.
I am. Conflating the Billy Joel, the stranger, which is a phenomenal song.
You
want to
be in the arms of Billy Joel, yeah.
Exactly. But that would be good for your love. The next step there is to make it kind of a 45-minute movie instead of just pictures with music behind it.
I would love to do that.
AI would do it.
Yeah. I got to get the tools together. I want to do that for like my dad. That would be...
I think it's a great idea. I think it's an awesome idea.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up with a bow. Are you ready to...
Yeah, whenever Omar gets up and starts moving around, that's when you know.
It was 100 degrees in that room.
You couldn't have waited 4 minutes? We were wrapping it up.
No, I'm covered in sweat. And by the way, I'm Pakistani. I don't sweat easy.
I thought you were black.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pakistani is the black people of India. That's how they're treated.
I don't know. Again, if you want to email us, our email is friends@fts.media.
Oh, Jerry, go.
Our website is friendstalkingshop.weebly.com, and check us out on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok at Friends Talking Shop. Until next time, bye, everyone.
See ya.
Smile you later.